I'm Paul Wiegraf, director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is the co-artistic director, founder, and executive director of Melomani, Tracy Richardson.
Hello, Paul. Also harpsichordist.
Also harpsichordist. And local composer, Mark Haggerty.
Hi, Paul.
Both of whom are individual artist fellowship recipients from the Delaware Division of the Arts over the years, consummate musicians in the area and contributors to the artistic scene here in Delaware. It's a pleasure to have you both with us in celebration, also in part of the 25th anniversary of Melomani. Is that right, Tracy?
That is correct.
So tell us a little bit about Melomani for the listeners who aren't familiar with you.
Melomani is a Baroque music ensemble composed of five people. We have a flutist, violinist, cellist, viola da gambist, and the harpsichordist, that's me. And we, of course, play Baroque music on period instruments. And we also love to commission new works. And so we have the very old and the very new. In the last 16 years or so, we've commissioned about 45 pieces from various composers around the world. And so we offer provocative pairings of early and contemporary works at all of our concerts.
Now, for the musicians that you've referenced, all of you perform in a number of different venues with different, actually, organizations other than Melomani. What makes your experience in Melomani kind of unique and special for each of your musicians?
Well, I think it is. That's a good question. And I think it's that we do play early music, you know, Baroque music on old instruments or copies of old instruments. And then we skip the 19th century and we play contemporary music. It isn't often that people do just that. We're one of the few ensembles in the country that do it.
Mm-hmm. Having watched Melomani play, I'm always fascinated with using the old instruments and the new instruments because they look somewhat similar, but the techniques are quite different. Is it Donna Fournier who plays the viola da gamba?
Yes, it is Donna.
And it's quite a different technique that she has to use for that instrument from the more contemporary cello.
That's correct. Her bow is different from the cello bow. And the way she holds the bow, and she has seven strings instead of four, and all kinds of things are different about it. And the tone is very different. Historically, the viola da gamba and the cello existed side by side for a while. And that's why we have this particular ensemble. There's a body of literature from the 1700s just for this, just for our group, 12 sonatas by Telemann and a number by Abel, and there's a French set of them as well. So it's a historically accurate bunch, and to it we often add guests. For instance, in the upcoming concert, there will be a percussionist, and I think our composer will tell you about him.
Now, in your musical selections, where you pull together the Baroque and the contemporary, what considerations go into your selections for any particular program? And then, Mark, we're going to turn to you and talk about your world premiere coming up on this next program.
Well, in any particular program, it's a good question again. We like to feature everyone. And if we have a guest, we like to really to feature the guest a lot. So we plan the literature around the guest, some Baroque, some contemporary, or sometimes there's 20th century, because there's a great big body of literature written for the harpsichord and others during the 20th century as well. And we put our season together with, it's kind of building blocks. Actually, we use post-it notes, and we we make sure we have a balance in each one of the old, of the new, and of the featuring ensemble members and our guests.
Okay, Mark, let's turn to you. Coming up on your concert on October 29th, going to be featuring the world premiere of Up to the Light. Tell us a little bit about how you came about composing this, what considerations went into it, how were you approached?
Great, sure. Well, first of all, it was a commission from Mona Byard for her husband, Tim, on a landmark anniversary. And they're both supporters of Mela Mani, and Tim's a well-known individual in the Wilmington area. He's he helps out with schools, and he's been involved in a number of public organizations for the general goods. He's a great guy, and it was an honor to be asked. This is actually my fourth large project for Mela Mani. So I'm pretty experienced writing for the group. But in this instance, we're doing something quite different. Tim Byard is a big jazz enthusiast. He also loves Mela Mani and Baroque music, but we thought it would be nice to try to incorporate some sounds and moods that Tim especially likes. So we kind of made it a huge challenge by adding vibraphone to a Baroque ensemble. It's a pretty big reach from the standpoint of tone quality. The vibraphone is an extremely mellow sounding instrument, whereas the harpsichord is kind of at the opposite extreme. It isn't that the harpsichord isn't a delicate instrument, but it has a bite and a twang. So these two instruments together kind of made a tonal timbral challenge for me. And then at the same time, the idea of somehow infusing the piece with some jazz feeling without getting cheap and, you know, doing some fake jazz or layering some jazz on top, that turned out to be quite difficult. And I like to think that I did manage to meld these ideas. The piece itself, Up to the Light, is based on the idea of, it's an abstract piece, but it has kind of a emotional progression to it. It's based on the idea of starting in a fairly painful place, and actually the music will sound that way, and I've warned the players, and I've warned those who commissioned it, that their very first impression could be a little bit one of shock. But the idea was to establish this base emotion and then somehow work through the piece. And it's a substantial piece, about 25 minutes. You have some time to accomplish this. Up to the Light. In other words, you never really get away from that initial condition, but what do you do with it? How do you incorporate it in your life or in your music? And the hope is that over a 25-minute period, we are able to progress somehow to a brighter sound and a brighter place. Also, just adding to the oddity of the formation, I had the idea of adding a chime or orchestral bell, just one. This is something that sounds a little bit like a church bell. And and of course, it does mix well with the vibraphone. They're both metallic. So that's in there, too. And that kind of tolls at the beginning in a kind of a fateful way, in a kind of a dissonant way. And it comes back once in the middle, and it comes back at the end. And the hope is that by the end, it has a different character. Certainly harmonically, it's fitting in differently. So that's the piece. The other maybe characteristic about the piece, and this is intentional, is that it involves a lot of true playing together. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times in Baroque music, you have counterpoint, and it's instruments playing different lines and playing back and forth and against each other. And the same thing often happens in new music. You get a lot of contrast, you get a lot of individual voices. And the last project, most recent project I did with Mela Mani, was an arrangement of several Icelandic folk songs. I actually think, Paul, I think you were
at I was concert, at that program. Right? I was.
And we had a guest artist there, Icelandic violinist Eva Ingolf. And this became an occasion to arrange some very beautiful secular and sacred works from Iceland. And what the players remarked upon afterwards was, gee, it was really enjoyable to just play together. So I thought, well, that's true, and it doesn't happen all that much. And so there's a lot in this piece, is a lot of real playing together, not against each other, not independently, but big sounds created by six players.
Now, I'm curious in bringing this piece together, taking the listener through that emotional arc, if you will. This whole concept of yours and what instruments to use, in the case of a commissioned work, do you have complete artistic license to do what you want to do, or do those who commission the work seek to have input?
I think usually you have quite a bit of freedom, and in this case, I did. These people know the group, and they know me, and they didn't really want to impose anything. Sometimes you do get quite a bit of direction as to what people need, and that's okay, so long as you know going into it. Mm-hmm. You can always say no, mm-hmm. but in the end, the people commissioning it, they have a purpose in mind, and if you're good, you ought to be able to meet that purpose and still write something that pleases or meets your own specs.
Hmm. Well, I want to pursue this creative process a little more, but first let me remind our listeners that you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are Tracy Richardson, the co-artistic director of Melomanie, and composer Mark Haggerty, who will be featured in Melomanie's upcoming concert. Before I forget, Tracy, tell us a little bit about the concert itself. I don't want us to run out of time without you having that opportunity.
Thanks, Paul. In addition to our premiere, world premiere of Up to the Light by Mark Haggerty, we're also going to be doing early music. We'll do a quartet by Carl Friedrich Abel from the Baroque time, and Kim Rayleigh, the flutist, and I will play a sonata by J.S. Bach. And we'll also be doing, Kim will also be playing a very short piece for flute solo by Ingrid Arauco. She is also a composer regionally. She lives in Wilmington and teaches at Haverford, and that little piece is called Silver. So that's the program, and shall I tell you when it will be?
Absolutely. And how people can find out more information.
Very good. It will be Sunday, October 29, 2 o'clock, at the Delaware Contemporary. That's the Modern Art Museum on the riverfront. The address is 200 South Madison Street. You can come on our website, and it's www.melomanie.org, and Melomanie is spelled M-E-L-O-M-A-N-I-E. And, you know, you can purchase a ticket there and find out more about us. And that's what we're going to do. And there'll be a nice reception afterward.
And for our listeners, Melomanie means?
It means the love of music or music mania, depending upon your mood.
Now, Mark, in as you were talking about, you know, composing and thinking about what instruments to use, it occurred to me, and maybe I'm wrong in this, but when you're composing a piano piece, you know, you can be sitting there at the piano and sort of hearing how all the pieces are going to fit together. But in composing for a variety of instruments and trying to figure out which instruments to use and what kind of color you want, do you need to hear samples of it as you're writing it to sort of hear how it's fitting together? Or is that all in... I know, I understand when Mozart composed, he kind of heard it all in his head, but how does that work?
I'm not Mozart, but I hear it in my head too. Okay. It's a skill you develop over time. You know, as a kid, I thought that was impossible, and I used to wonder, how did Beethoven compose after he lost his hearing? But now I understand that.
Well, all of his later works are all forte, right?
Yes. So we can hear a little bit, yeah. But that's no longer a mystery to me. I think it's a lot of it is practice. I think, you know, just like an architect can visualize and imagine three-dimensional space, you get adept at hearing tone colors and hearing harmonies. And so in the end, you really have to have that whole palette of sounds and instruments and all their capabilities in your head. And the only way to get there is A, to do a lot of listening. B, hopefully you're a musician who's played in ensembles and so on. And C, just this practice of imagining and writing. I pride myself, you know, I developed the ability to write away from the keyboard. So, you know, I can write a piece on vacation and I'm kind of, that's an accomplishment. But at the same time, lately I've been playing more at the piano. I don't really know why. For this piece, I think I didn't spend too much time at the keyboard. So you got to have it in your head, but it takes some practice to get there.
Now, are all of the instruments for this piece, Up to the Light, contemporary instruments?
Yes and no. The players in Melomani, some of them will play modern or Baroque instruments. So the harpsichord is always the harpsichord, and the viola
right.
da gamba is always the viola da gamba.
Right.
But you have modern and Baroque versions of the other instruments, the flute, the violin, and the cello. And so for this piece, we're using the modern instruments and modern tuning as well, because we've got the vibraphone, which mm-hmm. was not around in the 18th century, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, the piece is composed. It's presented to the musicians to learn. Tracy, with the Melomani Ensemble, I would imagine playing pieces that were written during the Baroque era, you have to rely on research and recordings and to sort of envision what was intended with this piece. With a commissioned work, you have the composer right here. So what's the difference in the rehearsal process in, you know, doing the Baroque pieces and the contemporary pieces when you have the composer there?
Well, that's a good question. We can ask him or her. First, we tend to practice it, rehearse the piece so that it is in some kind of shape.
Respectable.
Respectable shape to present to the person who spent many, 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 many hours writing it. So we rehearse first. We rehearse alone, of course, first, because modern pieces, well, they're all pretty difficult, modern or Baroque, but the modern ones tend to be difficult. So we rehearse a lot by ourselves, you know, each one by himself, and then we come together and rehearse, and then we call the composer in, and he or she, he in this case, helps us through the affect and tempo and even some edits. There's some editing that goes on sometimes during that process. If most of the composers we know are open-minded and will allow for some feedback from the players. And I think that's the most successful, because if something isn't quite working the way it should on an instrument or something like that, there can sometimes be a revision on site, and then it will go into the later version of the piece.
It's interesting you mentioned that each musician learns their part individually first,
yes.
then you bring it together.
Yes.
Are there unique challenges in contemporary music in that process? And I'm thinking, as the listener at a concert, you know, listening to contemporary pieces, there are times where, you know, I think, and I was an instrumentalist as well, thinking, how did that person possibly learn their individual part? Because many times it seems more fragmented than in a Baroque composition.
Well, that's right. It often is more fragmented. Maybe in this case, since we'll all be playing together, it won't be, but usually it is more fragmented. The challenges are, well, for the winds and strings, tuning, once you're not just tuning to yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then fitting the various rhythms together. Sometimes we can learn a piece in isolation, and the rhythm will be, we learn the rhythm a certain way and we have a certain way of thinking about it. But then when you put it all together in the group, the way of thinking about the rhythm mm-hmm. will have to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough because you've worked it out, but then you have to rework it out. So it's those things. And then things like balance, dynamics,
mm-hmm.
and just all playing with the same goal in mind, the same, whether it be poetic or emotional or athletic or whatever it is.
And understanding who is the dominant
yes.
you know, musical theme at the moment, those
that.
Sorts of things.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes we will find out just that point from the musical score that the
right.
composer provides. But sometimes having him right there is a great big help. He'll just say, you're the melody, play louder, or or you're not loud enough, play louder, or right. or you all have to be soft so that the harpsichord can be heard.
Right. Now, how long of a rehearsal process do you have for a piece like this,
well,
Up to the Light?
Together, I think we'll have maybe 4.5 to 6 hours for Up to the Light together. Mm-hmm. And there will be much, much more than that. In isolation, I would expect to spend 20 to 40 hours myself.
Mm-hmm. Just on your your part.
Yes.
Yeah. Fascinating. Mark, just quickly, we have about a minute and a half left. Question I wanted to ask earlier. How would you characterize your range of compositions? Or is there a particular style that you have? It sounds like you sort of have varied based on who commissions the work and what the purpose of the piece is.
You're right. I probably started out a little bit more hardcore in terms of hardcore modern music. But even then, I've always cared about the audience. So I do have a kind of a wide range. I've written some pieces that hark back to earlier styles. I don't like to think of them as neo. They're more influenced by early music, or maybe even experiments in what would have happened if music hadn't gone from, let's just say, from the Baroque to classical, but had continued.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do a lot of things that really are my own and are not, are trying very hard not to be based very much on any particular other composer or style. And they're, you know, they're demanding of the audience and they're demanding of the players. I don't do that on purpose. It's just how it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But I always think about the audience, and I think I do reach the audience. But it's a wide range.
Great. And with that, it's just about time to wrap up. So quickly, Tracy, in 15 seconds, plug the concert.
Come to our concert, Melomani's Concert, on Sunday, October 29, 2 o'clock at the Delaware Contemporary in Wilmington, 200 South Madison Street. You can go on Melomani's website, melomani.org.
Tracy Richardson and Mark Haggerty, it's been a pleasure having you with us in the studio today. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.